Thank you, Pastor McGuire. It's truly been an honor of mine to be here these past several days. I want to thank your pastor and his wife for their kindness to me since I've been here. I'm grateful for the room, all of the snacks, the meals, everything you provided for me. I really appreciate that, and I'm grateful. I don't ever want to take for granted coming into God's presence, because in his presence, anything can happen. If we will believe him, God can and will do great and mighty things this evening, past finding out. I'm glad to be in God's house. There's no place I'd rather be than in the house of the Lord on a Wednesday night. Are you glad to be here in the presence of Jesus? I wonder if we could just put our hands together and could we lift our voices and let's just thank him. God, we thank you, Jesus. Let's thank him for the opportunity to come into his presence with thanksgiving. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. It's not just another day. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. Be exceedingly glad in it. The book of Isaiah chapter 55, we'll begin reading in verse number 7. Isaiah chapter 55. Let's begin in verse 3. Isaiah chapter 55, let's skip up to verse 3. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make you an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. I'm thankful for the sure mercies of David. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee, because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord. While he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And I love this next verse. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, and watereth the earth, and make it to bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, that shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And I want to preach tonight for the next few minutes on this subject. When mercy rejoices. When mercy rejoices. Thank you for standing and you may be seated. When God speaks of mercy, he declares his ways and thoughts to be above ours, as high as the heavens are above the earth. The sun is 93 million miles from the earth, and yet the earth is dependent on the sun as its life force. God said, let there be light, and the vibrations of his vocal cords are still traveling through space. There's such a disparity and a distance between the way that you and I view humanity and the way that God views humanity. We cast our horizontal judgments. We extend our horizontal mercy. But God, from his vertical vantage point, looks down in mercy with judgment, not from Moses' law, but from the perfect law of liberty. The farthest star from us is 16,000 light years away. The farthest galaxy is 2.5 million light years away. The farthest supernova is 10 billion light years away. Distance is not an issue with God. The farther you are from God, sometimes the closer you really are to him. Adam, where art thou? David said, if I go to heaven, you're there. Or if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Beyond the most powerful telescope ever created, there is magnified mercy available in this house tonight. Several years ago, I walked down Bourbon Street with a pastor friend of mine, and what an incredible display we saw of sin and debauchery and degradation. God's holiness, God's justice demands payment for sin. Judgment is surely coming upon this wicked society. God will send destruction upon the transgressors, for they which forsake the Lord shall be consumed. They shall burn together and none shall quench them. Isaiah 1, 28 through 30. But I must declare to you that it was not with a judgmental spirit that I walked those streets. But I was praying in my spirit, God, please be merciful to these people in this city and in this community. I believe we should walk the streets of Lakeland, Florida with the same attitude and spirit. Not with judgmentalism, but praying, God, be merciful to these people. Give them grace. Give them an opportunity to be saved. 1 Chronicles 16, 34 says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. In Ezra 3, 11, when the temple was dedicated, they praised and gave thanks and shouted with a great shout, for his mercy endureth forever. You see, there's something about God's mercy that is a lodestone. It is a magnet that draws men to him. He said, and if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. In Matthew 9, Jesus was eating with sinners and publicans, and the Pharisees began to criticize him. Jesus said, go learn what it means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. I'm thankful for the mercies of God. Someone once said, teach me to feel another's woe, to hide the fault I see, that mercy I to others show, that mercy may still be shown to me. In Exodus 33, Moses desired to see the glory of God. He said, God, show me your glory. I love what God said. You want to see my glory? You want to see my hinder parts? He said, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will shew mercy to whom I will shew mercy. Aren't you glad it's not left up to you and I? If you want to see the glory of God, we're going to see the grace and the mercy of God. You see, Saul was haunting David. He was hounding him. He was following him into dens, into caves. And David had a great opportunity to kill Saul. He had every right. He had every opportunity to do that. But he said, I refuse to touch God's anointed. I want somebody to know here tonight that a man of God can be wrong and still be right. He said, I refuse to touch the man of God. I'm not going to touch him. He may be imperfect, but I refuse to touch God's man. But then when the tables were turned, and David had failed and sinned, and Nathan the prophet stood before him and said, thou art the man. Then David heard the most beautiful words he had ever heard. When God said, thou shalt not die, God gave David mercy. Do you know why that was? Because David activated some horizontal mercy toward Saul. There's something about giving horizontal mercy to people that we come in contact with that can activate the vertical mercies that only God can give. I don't know about you, but I want to give everybody the grace card, and I want to give people mercy in my life. The rich man who neglected Lazarus was refused a drop of water. The servant, insisting on his fellow servant paying him all he was owed, was delivered to the tormentors. For what we weave in time, we shall wear in eternity. But one day mercy will triumph, and one day mercy will rejoice. The halt, the blind, the lame, the cripple. When Jesus began to pass by, they would cry out, all of them, Jesus, and they always said something beautiful. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. What were they doing? They were appealing to the sure mercies of David that do not fail. What they were saying is, in essence, God, if you did it for David way back then, you can do it for me right now. Are you thankful there are some sure mercies that will not fail us? Praise God. Are you thankful for the mercy and the grace of God? I know what it's like to be hurt in church. That's the worst place in the world you could ever be hurt. And I know what it's like to hold a grudge and to have something in my spirit toward people. You know who that hurts? That hurts you. Doesn't hurt anybody else. And when I was struggling with it so bad, Brother McGuire, this is what God told me to do. He said, take a piece of paper and write down every sin and every mistake you've ever made on this sheet of paper. And I did. Then he said, I want you to take another sheet of paper and write down the names of all the people who have hurt you and what they've done to you. And I want you to compare these two lists. And if you can't forgive the people over here, then I can't forgive you for what you've done over here. I found a note in my Bible some time ago, and it was from my son. And this, he's 21 now in fifth semester in college, but back then, he had written me a little note and said, Dad, I love you so much. You're the greatest dad in the world. You're the most awesome dad anybody could ever have. I love you, I love you, I love you. The end of the note, it said, and by the way, Dad, I think I failed the fourth grade. And that's the way it is with us and God. God, I love you. I worship you. I'm here again. I praise you. And by the way, God, I messed up again. I failed again. But if he didn't fail the fourth grade, but if he had of, it doesn't mean he's no longer my son. I'm telling you, we have a God that loves, a God that forgives, a God that is full of mercy and grace and forgiveness. Are you thankful that you had the opportunity to come into this house and to lift him up? I'm grateful for the mercies of God. Psalm 136, 26 times in this chapter, the psalmist declares, for his mercy endureth forever. This excessive repetition of phraseology is to remind us lest we should forget the mercy of God. God's mercy is overflowing. His mercy is ever flowing. Can I tell someone in this building, it doesn't matter what you face, God's mercy is greater than your mistake. In Psalm 89, the psalmist alludes back to what the prophet Isaiah said in chapter 55. In verse 1, he said, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Mercy shall be built up. Verse 2, I have sworn unto David my servant. Then he goes in verse 5 to the heavens, and the heavens shall praise thy wonders. And it begins to talk about the heavens and mercy. And then in the book of Psalm chapter 57, this is a chapter where David is running from Saul and he's hiding in a cave. Listen to what he says in verse 1 of Psalm 57. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Here it is, verse 3. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. I'm thankful that mercy always goes before truth. I'm thankful that grace always goes before the truth. You see, we've got these little ideas about how far God will reach and what he will do with people and how merciful that God will really be with people. But as far as the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts and my ways above yours regarding mercy and humanity. And so David said, I'm going to look to the heavens and I'm going to cry out for mercy. In verse 10 it says, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens and thy truth is unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all of the earth. What David was saying, you have a truth, but it only reaches to the clouds, but beyond where the clouds are, you have a mercy that reaches into the heavens. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways and thoughts regarding mercy and humanity. If you walk out tonight and the moon is shining or the stars are twinkling, you ought to lift your hands and say, thank God there's mercy for another day. If God lets you wake up in the morning and the sun's shining, you ought to wake up and say, thank God for his mercy. Endureth forever. He didn't have to let you live. He gave you another opportunity to come into his house. Would somebody give a shout of praise? Could somebody thank God for his mercy that endureth forever? Hallelujah. Woo, praise God. Come on, we think we've got it figured out, but I've got a God that'll reach farther than humanity will. He will be merciful to whom he will be merciful. Woo, hallelujah. Praise God. Book of Lamentation, chapter 3. This lamenter. Now some of us, we have, and I know it's Wednesday, probably some of you had a bad day. Maybe you're going through a difficult season. And a lot of times what we're going through, we want to blame God for it. We'll never articulate that maybe, but we're really saying, God, if it wasn't for you. Maybe you don't ever do that. But I'll show you an example in the Bible of someone who did. And maybe you're not having a bad day. You think you've had a bad week. Listen to what was going on with the writer of Lamentation. Chapter 3, verse 1, he said, and he's blaming God for all these things. He said, even the affliction of thy rod of his wrath. He said, he brought me into darkness. Verse 3, he turned his hand against me. Verse 4, my flesh and my skin he made old. He broke my bones. Verse 5, he compassed me with gall and travail. Verse 6, he set me in dark places. Verse 7, he hedged me about. He made my chain heavy. Verse 8, I cry and I shout, and he shutteth out my prayer. Verse 9, he makes my paths crooked. Verse 11, he pulled me in pieces and made me desolate. Verse 15, he filled me with bitterness, made me drunken with wormwood. Verse 16, he broke my teeth with gravel stones, and he covered me with ashes. Verse 17, he removed my soul afar off from peace. I forgot prosperity. Verse 18, my strength and my home is perished. My hope is perished from the Lord. Verse 19, affliction, misery, wormwood, and gall. All of these things he was thinking, he was reflecting, he was angry at God. He had a case of stinking thinking. Sometimes we don't think. You know why? Because we think like human beings. We have such a low-level process. And God said, your thoughts are down here. But as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts above your thoughts regarding mercy. But I love when it began to change for the writer of Lamentation, because in verse 21, he says, this I recall to my mind. He began to think God thoughts. And he said, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's tender mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I wish somebody would get your mind elevated to think some God thoughts. Praise God. I'm telling you, everybody in this house can be saved. Every person in this building will be saved that has a desire to follow God. I don't care what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been or who you've done it with. We've got a God of mercy. Could somebody thank him? Come on, he give us another opportunity on a Wednesday night to thank him for mercy that endureth forever. Praise God. My hope is in mercy. I refuse to think like a common human being. Elevate our thoughts, God, to think your thoughts. His mercy is like a sea without a bottom or a shore. You see, something is following you. There are spirits. You see, you don't just leave the world and walk away from the world scot-free. There are spirits that will follow you out of this world. And they will haunt you and they will track you. That's what happened when they left Egypt. There were some things that followed them out. And some of you, when you walked into this building, there are spirits that are following you. There are spirits that are tracking you. But I love what David said. There's something greater than those spirits that are following me. David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You want to see the glory of God? Look back to where God brought you from. I wish somebody could turn around and look at the Red Sea and understand that everything that followed me out, God destroyed it through His name, through His blood, through the waters of baptism. Come on, Moses, it's time to see the hinder parts of God. I will be merciful to whom I... Woo, praise God, somebody ought to thank Him. I'm running to the mercy seat. Psalm 85 and 10, mercy and truth are met together. Where did mercy and truth meet? They met in the courtroom of God's justice. And you and I were on trial. Truth, could you please take the stand? And truth stands to say, they are a liar. They are an alcoholic. They are a homosexual. Okay, thank you very much. Truth, that's good. You may be seated. Now we're going to call mercy to the stand. And mercy stands to say, what do you say about that same person? And mercy says, I see them washed. I see them sanctified. I see them justified. I'm thankful that mercy rejoices over the truth. We're always talking about the truth, but the truth only reaches to the clouds. But I've got a mercy that reaches into the heavens. It reaches beyond this terra firma. It goes beyond the first and second heaven into the very presence of God. In 2013, I stood in London, England at Kensington Palace where kings and queens had ruled in England for hundreds of years. We walked into what was known as the Presence Chamber, and there was a plaque there that said the Presence Chamber. Lowly petitioners made their case in front of the throne. Those who wanted actual influence, however, had to travel further within. We left that room and we walked into the King's Gallery. Pastor McGuire, there was another plaque that said there the king would sit in the window seat with his most trusted courtiers and confidants and talk freely. This was the true seat of power. You see, in old England, there were series of steps of progression to go into the king's court. You didn't just barge into the king's court. But I'm so glad tonight that we can boldly approach the throne of God, and we can find grace to help in the time of trouble. But that's not the only thing. We can find some mercy. When you see, distance is not an issue with God. I don't care how far you are from God. When you come down here and get on your knees, you can go through the first and second heaven, and you can enter into the third heaven of God, and you can boldly approach the throne. When the altar call is given, you don't need to bow your head and cry. You need to square your shoulders and walk up here and say, I'm going to boldly approach the throne because I need grace and I need mercy. I don't know about you, but I need mercy in my life. Is there anybody thankful that God brought you out? And He not only brought you out, but He brought you out to bring you in to a land of promise and miracles, signs and wonders. I hear the four horses. I hear their hoofbeats. Look at all of the tsunamis. Look at the earthquakes, the mudslides, the fires that are out of control. I hear judgment as it is marching. As sure as this preacher is preaching, judgment is coming to this world. I hear the sounds of the hoofbeats. I hear the judgment of God as it plods on and it marches. But I'm thankful tonight that while judgment is marching, I'm glad that mercy is running. He's running to your pew. He's running to your family. I'm thankful that mercy is in the house tonight. I'm thankful for what I feel in this building. I feel like somebody's going to leave here changed, redeemed, delivered by the hand of God. James 2:13 is, this is where I've been going, and I'm getting close to finishing, I promise. James 2:13, for he shall have judgment without mercy that has shewed no mercy. And mercy rejoiceth. That word means to triumph over, against judgment. Do you know what this scripture means? If you go back and study it in the original, this is what it means. People in life who have been fault-finding and judgmental and critical. Do you know anybody like that? Surely there's not anybody here like that. Surely there were not 10 spies with a negative report, 2 with a positive one. Surely that wasn't the odds. But hear me. People in life who have pointed their finger, they've judged everybody and everything, and they found fault. I want to be like Jesus. He said, I judge no man. But if you go back and look at this in James 2:13, every person who has found fault at the judgment bar of God, when it comes time for them to be judged, all of the sins they have committed will be brought out and used against them. Go back and study it. That's what this means. But the people in life who've given everybody the grace card, and they've been merciful. When the evangelist preached just a little bit too long, they gave him a little more mercy. I'm talking about those kind of people. When they stand before the judgment bar of God, on that day, all of the sins they've committed in their life will not be used against them. Do you know why? Because mercy is going to rejoice over judgment. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I want to be a grace giver. Come on, church. They're going to come into this house in all kinds of states of disarray. It's up to us to extend them. Come on. It's time to elevate our thoughts. If God did it for you, God can do it for them. Does anybody believe that God can save a drug addict, a transvestite? Could I get a witness in the house? Come on. You've got to expand your thought process to encompass who whosoever will, let him come and drink. The waters lie freely. Praise God. I feel the Holy Ghost here in a powerful and distinct way. You see, we have something that the angels desire to look into. Praise God. That's why those cherubims, that's why they were fixated on the mercy seat. That's why they were fixated on the blood of sprinkling, because we have something that the angels desire to look into. Can I use you for just a moment, Brother McGuire? Would you sit up here? I want you to be God. He's closest person I know here to Jesus, okay? Is that all right? See, I got a witness from this side of the house. Do you know what the devil does? He tempts you to do wrong. And then he accuses you and condemns you for what you've done. And so it really doesn't matter. You see, I used to think that evil was out there in the world, in the club, in the places of ill repute, that that's where the devil was. I'm sorry, my friends, but we're all in the same building. Because the devil's faithful to church every Sunday and wears a suit and a tie and a dress, in case you didn't know that. The devil's already got all that out there on lockdown. The battle is in this building. You see, I used to think there was such a distance between where God dwelt and Satan dwelt. But they're all in the same room. Because do you know what the devil does? The Bible says day and night. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Do you know what the devil does? He goes into the presence of God and he accuses you of what you've done. He tempts you to do it, Then he accuses you of it, and then he comes back and condemns you for it and tries to push you down further. Have you heard the latest, God? Have you heard about Sister You-Know-Who? Have you heard about him and what he did Friday night? Have you heard the latest? Boy, it's so quiet. I must be preaching good. Have you heard anything new? Anybody ever ask you that in church? Ask yourself which side they're on. Oh, Lord, don't shout me down. And so the devil is accusing us day and night. That's all he does. He's accusing the brethren. He wants to find fault with you. He wants you to tempt you to do wrong. Then he wants to accuse you and talk about you. But while Satan is accusing you on this side of the house, on the other side of heaven, there are some angels that are crying, "Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." They're in the same room. The devil's accusing and the other angels are worshiping. Praise God. I've determined there's only one of two things you can do in the presence of Jesus. Some people come to church to find fault. That's the only reason they're here, is to point out everybody's mistake and criticize and find fault. But while you're up here criticizing, on the other side of the building, there's some people that know how to lift up Jesus and praise him. I don't know what you came to do on a Wednesday night. I'm not here to find fault. I'm not here to be critical. I'm here to give Jehovah Jireh my praise and my worship. You're worthy to receive honor and glory and power and a kingdom that has no end. Woo, hallelujah. I feel like praising him on a Wednesday night. It don't matter what the devil don't like, we're going to praise him. If somebody's critical, get away from them. If somebody's finding fault, don't associate with them. You know what'll stop that in church? When they come to you in that sly little way the devil has and tries to cast a shadow or find fault with somebody else, when they get through, you say, "Thank you very much. I'm getting ready to go tell them everything you just told me." They won't come back to you. Oh, Lord. Trust me. But while the devil is accusing on this side, praise God. You ever feel like there's a mixed multitude in church? That some people are just dead weight and you're trying to pull them? Oh, Jesus. But I love the people that know how to pray. It doesn't matter who's singing. It doesn't matter who's preaching. It really doesn't matter what's going on, because they're thinking God thoughts. I refuse to think critically. I choose to praise God on a Wednesday night. You know what happens? The Bible tells me that when a sinner comes to the front and they repent of their sins, that the angels of God in heaven rejoice. I'm talking about mercy rejoicing over one sinner that repenteth. I have to believe that the angels have to say, "Devil, just shut up for a moment and quit your accusing, because there's another sinner that's come home, and we're going to take the stage and dance. We're going to take the stage and worship." I wish somebody would get on your feet and understand that mercy can rejoice over judgment. Mercy will rejoice over sin and iniquity. There's nothing more powerful than the mercy and the grace of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, church, I feel something moving in the house. I feel like someone's thought process is being elevated. Don't think your little human thoughts. Don't think your little scrawny dwarf thoughts, but elevate your mind to believe that anybody who walks through the door, God can save them. God can deliver them. God can bring them out. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. Come on, church, I felt it last night. And I feel it again tonight. God's doing a miracle. God, there's a breakthrough in this church. I feel revival on the horizon. People are going to be saved.